Good morning, everyone. It is so good. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is so good to see you this morning. I hope and pray that you're doing well, that your family is doing well, that you're happy to be here, that everything is going the way you want. If it's not, let me know. I'll buy you a cup of coffee this week, okay? But God bless you today, and it's my prayer that today, as we have been involved in Bible classes, that you have been greatly benefited and uplifted, that as we study together from God's Word this morning, and as we worship Him, praise Him, and give Him the glory that He deserves, that God will be the center of everything that we do. You know, there's some announcements that just thrill my soul to make, and this is one of them. To be able to talk about or tell about someone that is here for the very first time, very first worship service ever. It just tickles me to death. I want you to make sure that you see today Adeline Marie Fuller, sitting right over here, Scott and Mary's daughter. It is so good to have her, especially her, this morning. God bless y'all. We love the Fuller family. They are just wonderful, wonderful folks. And I'm just saying, doing a great job as parents. Y'all keep on doing a good job. We love you sincerely and just love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you this morning. This morning, as we look at our study, I want you to think about the word faith. And the word faith is a powerful word. We can't please God without faith, can we? The Bible tells us that. We know from Scripture that various things relate to faith. For example, we know that we must walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. That faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 and following, tells us that we're to add certain things diligently to our faith: virtue, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness, patience, love. These things, add them to our faith. Well, this morning I want you to think about a sample or an example. Now, as we live today, from day to day, we understand that Christians will be persecuted from time to time because we serve the one and only true God. And when we do that, we're putting the world of sin and the devil in the background. We're putting them from us. And so therefore, we live strong and we must live strong. There are examples in Scripture that help us to understand the strength of faithful living. These four that we'll talk about over the next few Sundays will be those examples. In fact, when we think about Abraham, that is no doubt one of the great examples of the pattern for faith. When we go to the other examples in this section of Scripture, Rahab, no doubt she was the power of faith. Job, he had patience of faith. And Elijah, he offered the prayer of faith. That's what we'll be looking at. But this morning, as we engage in our study, I invite you to go to these passages that are on the outline. We'll notice, first of all, in James 2, before we get there, notice in James 1, 21 and following, notice here James had this to say as we introduce this lesson. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding or observing his natural face in a mirror. Now take your Bibles and turn to James 2 this morning. In James 2, in verses 21 and following, this will be the text that we have for our lesson this morning. James 2 is speaking about the importance of faith that demonstrates itself in good deeds. Abraham is a prime example in that. James 2, beginning of verse 21, notice here James said, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how that faith wrought or manifested itself with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Not only was Abraham a man of faith, or he had the faith of God, he was also called the friend of God. Truly, we need patterns in our lives today. Those that live for us and live for us as examples. Abraham is one from which we can learn many. This morning, I want to notice three things concerning Abraham's faith and the pattern that it sets. We'll look, first of all, at the source of his faith. Then we'll look, number two, at the submission of his faith. And then finally, we'll notice the separation of his faith. And I believe this will give us a good view, a panoramic view of Abraham being a pattern for the faith that is taught and seen within Scripture. Christian faith, saving faith. So this morning, as you consider Abraham's faith, consider your faith as well. First of all, I want you to notice the source of his faith. And that is the first place that we began, because we notice him as a great man of faith. In fact, when we look at Scripture in Romans 4 and verse number 11, notice here that Paul said, "And he received the sign of circumcision," that is Abraham, "a seal of the righteous of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe." Abraham is said to have been the father of all of those who believe. Though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Then notice this next verse. "And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham, he had while still uncircumcised." Notice here in verse number 11 that he is called the father of faith for all of those who believe. And then in verse number 12 it said that he is the example that we can follow in his steps, also walk in his steps. Who? Abraham, who was a man of great faith. And so therefore he is not only the one that was the father and is the father of faith, one who is the example of faith as well. Well, the first thing that we ask in regard to the source of his faith is, where did he get his faith? Where did his faith come from? Where did it originate? Where's the tap root for that faith that Abraham so ably had, and from which we can also learn? Well, we go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, and verse number 1. And notice here what is recorded by Moses concerning Abraham. Notice the first statement. "Now the Lord said to Abraham." And then we see what he said. "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." And he goes on in chapter 12. But I want you to notice there that very first phrase. That tells us and gives us the answer to the question, where did Abraham get his faith? Where is the origin of his faith? Well, it says that he heard the Lord, because the Lord said unto Abraham. In other words, Abraham, he got his faith from hearing the word of the Lord. Listen to me and listen to me carefully, folks. The Bible still says, and it's still a firm foundation upon which to build your life, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse number 17. So you might ask today, where does faith for us come from? Well, it comes from the very same source that it came for Abraham. It comes from the word of God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, or rather Romans 4 and verse 21, there Paul said that Abraham, he was fully persuaded. You know, to be persuaded means to be convinced, to be won over in regard to something. And Abraham, he was fully persuaded that what God promised, God was able to perform. So whatever God promised Abraham, God performed it, or he fulfilled it. Whatever God promises us, God will perform it. He will fulfill it. And folks, when we believe in that, that is what faith is. In other words, faith, and listen carefully, faith is taking God at His word and having total confidence in His promises from His message. Let me repeat that. Faith is taking God at His word and having total confidence in His promises from His message. Now, since Abraham is a pattern of faith, and he's our pattern for faith, then when I get my faith from the same source that Abraham got his, I can have just as strong a faith as Abraham had, because, you see, he got his faith from the message of God, and that's the same place that I get my faith from the message of God. Oh, how important it is that we hear, that we study, that we meditate, that we allow the Word of God to be a very part of us, just as the breath that we breathe, the blood that flows through our veins, the air that fills our lungs, it's to be that much a part of us. You know, folks, I didn't get my faith from some emotional experience. Because you see, emotions come and they go. I didn't get my faint from some dream, because, folks, I've had a variety of dreams. And so have you, haven't you? Have you ever woken up and said, Ken, you will not believe what I just dreamed? And the person says that hears it, I can't believe that. I didn't get my faith from some dream. Didn't get my faith from a vision, as some claim today. Didn't get my faith from a trip to the Holy Land. Didn't get my faith from a human testimonial. Folks, the only place that faith comes from is the same place that faith has always come from, all the way back even to Abraham. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, today, we get our faith from God because He has written very conclusively. As we read in John, the 20th chapter, verses 30 and 31, John said, "Many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of these disciples, which are not written in this book," and we understand that the Gospel of John does not contain every single word that Jesus spoke, every single thought that Jesus thought, nor every single deed that Jesus did. We know the Gospel of John does not contain everything, but John says, "But these are written." In other words, what is contained in the Gospel of John is what we need to know. And he says, "These are written that we, believing, might have life through His name." Folks, that's faith, and that's what we need to understand in regard to faith. Faith is the message of God as it's played out and dictated in our lives from God's holy book. And so therefore, I cannot have faith and please God and expect to please God. If I don't have faith, then I will not be able to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. So thus we read in this great epistle of James that the book of James emphasizes so many things. One, it emphasizes in verse number 18 that God of His own will, He brought us forth. Some translations use the word He begotten or begat us, which simply means He brought us forth. But how did He do that? By the word of truth. That emphasizes the greatness, the importance, the monumentalness of just that great truth and that faith. That we should become a kind of first fruits of His creatures, James says. So therefore, that tells us how great faith is. But also in verse number 21, notice he says that we're to, as it were, receive that great message. We lay apart the filthiness and the residue of immorality, the overflow of immorality, and then receive with meekness that Word into our lives. Then again, in verse number 25, notice we're to be the kind of people that look into that perfect law of liberty. There, another phrase for the Word of God. To look into it, to diligently look into the Word of God. And those that look into the Word of God, and the text says, continue therein, this man or this individual will be blessed in a certain area of their lives. And it says there, they'll be blessed in their works or what they do. Now, going back to verse number 21, we notice there, we're to have this Word implanted in our lives. And so therefore, these are the things that relate to the source of faith. When I was a child, down on our farm in Winston County, there is a huge valley, and there's a house, the old home place, that overlooks that huge valley. And there are two creeks that run through that huge valley, submerge within one, and then flow on down to, well, flows on down to the New River, which is then the Buddy Hatchie River. And huge, huge creeks. And one day I decided that I wanted to try to find the source or the origin of the mouth of one of those creeks. I got up early one Monday morning and I started walking, and I followed that creek and followed it all day long. Finally it came night and I put up my little pup tent. Had me some hot dog weenies and saltine crackers and Mountain Dew, and had a little supper, you know, went to bed when day began to break. Got up again, walked all day Tuesday. My Paul Posey said, "This creek has its origin way yonder in a rock formation that the creek comes out from." He said, "You'll never find it, though." Well, that just made me want to find it that much more. Walked all day Tuesday. Night finally come. I put up my pup tent, had some more weenies and crackers and Mountain Dew, and slept. Daybreak came. Wednesday, I walked till about noon on that day. Came to a huge rock formation, huge cliff. Got out my flashlight, crawled way up under that big bluff. Well, all as far as I could squeeze. It was a fat man squeeze, I guarantee you. I shined my flashlight way back there in the distance, and I saw water bubbling out from under that rock. And I knew I'd found at least the surface source of that. It tickled me to death. I'd found it. Folks, I hope that's the way you are when you look for faith. That you'll not be told you can't find it. But you'll search far and wide, and you'll find it in one and only one place. And that is here in the message, the Word of God. See, folks, that's how Abraham becomes the source or the pattern for the source of faith. He took God at His Word and believed Him with every fiber of his being, and that governed every area of his life. But now, that's the first part that I want you to notice. The second part is now the submission of his faith. And that's the second part of his faith that I want you to notice. And as we think about the submission of his faith, that is, he submitted. He was submissive. He came under the authority, under the rule of something, someone. And it was not that he was calling the own shots for his life. He was taking the message of the one under which he served, and that became the standard for everything that he did, everything he thought, and everything that he said. And folks, we must practice a submissive life as well when it comes to the source of God's Word. Now, I'll take you over to Hebrews 11 and verse 8. And there, the Hebrew writer, commenting concerning Abraham, he said this. He said there in that passage, he said, Now Abraham, he obeyed when he was called to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now notice the first part of that passage. Notice that little word there that by faith Abraham, he did what? Well, it's a little word that denotes that his faith was a submissive faith. And the word there is, he obeyed. We sing it and sing it well, and I hope that we take a moment to think about it often. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. To trust and obey. Abraham, his faith had to cause him to submit and yield to the will of God. His faith had to cause him to trust and obey in all that God said, because for him there was no other way. And the same for us when it comes to our faith. Now, the book of James has many things to say concerning Abraham. We go back to the text that we just read, and there in verse number 21, notice again, was not Abraham our father justified? How? It says, by works, when he had offered up his son Isaac upon the altar. Now, let me say this, and I want you to let this sink into your heart, mind, your soul, and your strength concerning the subjects of faith and works. James presents faith and works as being synonymous teachings. In other words, a true saving faith cannot be a true saving faith unless it demonstrates itself in those good works of doing what the Lord requires of us. And neither can good works that the Lord commands us to do be the kind of good works that the Lord approves of unless there is a saving faith that is coupled together in such a way that you can't tell the difference between one or the other. They're so cohesively bound that they're submerged within each other. In other words, you say, preacher, that faith and works are synonymous in the Epistle of James, and to that I would answer with a resounding, absolutely yes. Now, it says here that Abraham, he was justified, that is, his faith was demonstrated And God approved of his faith by what he did, because you see, they were one and the same. In other words, you see, a Christian, when they become a Christian, they start working for the Lord, and there is never an off day or a time of vacation or a backing up or a turning to the left or right when it comes to doing that which the Lord said. One that is saved by grace through faith, obeying the Lord and complying with His Word and His will, is then by necessity one that obeys the Lord and doing what the Lord says. They go hand in hand. They're one in the same. And folks, to be a Christian means that you are submitted to the one that has added you to the church. Back in our text in verse number 22, seeing thou how that faith wrought with his works, or faith was made known by his works, and by works was faith made perfect or complete. There was a completeness in the life of Abraham that other people around him did not necessarily have or did not necessarily see, that he exemplified perfectly. And since, folks, he is a pattern for faith, we too need to see in verse number 24, see then how that by works a man is justified and not, and notice this, and not by faith alone. It does my heart no good to hear of the teaching that sometimes goes on in our world, that salvation is by faith and faith alone. Because I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, not by my own understanding or ingenuity, but by God's Word, that man is not saved by faith and faith alone. Man is saved by the obedience to the compliance with God, His Word, and His will. And one that is saved is one that will work every day of their life until the Lord returns. And so therefore we understand that Abraham becomes an example for that. When we see the example in Abraham's life, for example, in James 1 and verse number 22, we understand in a much better way why we're to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Now, I nor James are discounting the importance of hearing. And folks, let me just give a little compliment as our brother Dan Whitson. Thank you, brother. Those encouragements, they lift up people. But let me be one like Brother Dan this morning. I appreciate you that when we strike a pose as the collective church, the worshiping assembly, I appreciate the fact that you take your cell phone, and so I know some of you have your Bible on it, and that's fine, but you're not texting or checking Facebook or going on Instagram or tweeting or surfing. I'm proud that you're giving your attention to the message of God's Word. Nor do you take pen and pencil. I found one time in these pews, it's been several years ago, I found where this individual had made out their schedule for the next week, Monday through Friday. I picked it up. Now, I don't know who it was. It could have been me. I don't know. I hope it wasn't. But I'm thankful that when I see the faces and the eyes of this congregation, I see folks that are set and intent upon listening to the Word of God, because hearing the Word of God then enables us to be the doers of God's Word. It indicates those that are submitting to God. You're not submitting to me. Don't ever submit to me. Submit to God in His Word. Take another passage there in James chapter 1, verse 25. Whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Notice that, a doer of the work. We must abound in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58. No greater joy, satisfaction, no greater gratification in all the world than doing what the Lord says for us to do. Still even further there in chapter 4 and verse number 7 of James. Notice he said there that we're to, as it were, submit yourselves therefore to God. Why? Because saving faith involves submission. Coming under the mighty hand of God and living the way He says, doing what He says. That's why Abraham is a pattern for faith. Now, lastly and finally this morning, as we're surveying the life of Abraham, not touching on every aspect, but those things that are important for us to understand as he being the pattern of faith, there is the third thing, and that is the separation of his faith. Take you back once again to Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 4. There in that sequence of events, here the text very conclusively describes the fact that Abraham, he was a man that separated himself. Notice, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And then we get a glimpse of Lot that went with him. And Abraham, he was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. But I want you to notice that little word there. Abram, he departed. And folks, just like Abraham departed or separated because the Lord told him to do so, His faith caused him to separate himself from his old surroundings, his former way of life, and he did that because God commanded it. You know, folks, there's a lot of things that we must separate ourselves from, or from which we must separate ourselves. And not because we think that it's just a good thing, or not because it's the right or the popular thing to do, but it's because God tells us to do it. You know, a Christian has no business in a bar. Christian has no business looking at certain things on the internet. Christian has no business saying some things that the world finds popular. Christian has no business involving themselves with things of a lesser reputation or unrighteousness in this world. Why? It's not because I came to that conclusion. It's because God, He tells us to remain pure. Second Corinthians 6 and verse number 7, Paul says, "Be ye separate from those unholy places, unholy people, unholy principles, unholy preachers, unholy anything. To stay separate from that." There's a lot of filth in this world, and yet we understand that we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Paul tells Titus in Titus 2:11. And then in verse 12, he says, "You're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Listen to James once again. In the same context in which Abraham is identified, chapter 1, verse 27, notice the last phrase in that verse, "Keep himself," or "keep oneself unspotted from the world." Now, the world there is not the globe or the mountains or the rivers or the valleys or the that's not the world that is under consideration. If we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, we must understand that the world in that passage is talking about the world of sin. And James says, don't let it contaminate you. And the principal way of remaining uncontaminated is not to rub shoulders with it, not to be found in its company. Abraham, he separated. God said, "You depart," and Abraham, he obeyed and went. Now, there are other passages that relate to this. Take, for example, chapter 4 and verse 4 of James. There, within this passage, he speaks about adulterers and adulteresses. Now, this is a way in which he describes certain ones that they live like an adulterer or an adulteress in regard to their life. Anything and everything. He said, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is separation or enmity with God? Whoever there wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So the implication is, keep away from the things of the world. That's separation. Still even further in chapter 4, verse 8, "Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." This final view of Abraham shows us the separation of his faith. And the important thing to remember in regard to Abraham is that when God said, "Abraham, leave," he left the Ur of the Chaldees, The text describes Abraham as leaving, not even knowing the destination, not even knowing the way or where he was going. He simply obeyed out of faith because God told him to do it. Folks, there's a lot of things in this old life called Christianity that I might not completely understand. Might not know the what, where, when, why, and how. But if God says it, that settles it. If God speaks it, that's the way it is. Finally, this morning, let me admonish everyone here, that in regard to praying and wanting God's help, may He help us, as no doubt He helped Abraham, that we may, as is said in Romans 4, verse 12, walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. May that be the manner of our walking every day. May we be, like James 1, verse 22 says, may we be doers of the Word. Not just hearers, but hearers and doers of the Word. Abraham is a great pattern for faith. We can exemplify the same things in our lives, be greatly blessed, live the way God wants us to live, and go to heaven when the time on this earth is over. Now, folks, what about your faith this morning? Could be that you've taken a look at your faith while we've been studying or engaged in this study and said, I'm not as strong as I need to be, not as strong as I want to be, but by God's help, I can be what He wants me to be. What if your faith is doubting or waning, or what if it's spasmodic, or it's nowhere near what the Bible describes? The blessing about an assembly like this, when the invitation of the Lord is offered, if you need to make some changes in your life, what better place among what better people than to make those changes, to come in contact or to come in parallel with God and His will, and doing it here and doing it now. Could be that you need to become a Christian this morning to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, to begin the journey of faithful obedience to the Lord. What if you need to come back? Renew and restrengthen your faith. Recharge it. Get right in God's sight. I want to encourage you to do so this morning. If that's your need, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.